Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Well, guys, good for the Patriots that the regular season actually ended in week 16.
You didn't like that finale?
Not a lot of intensity on the field, shall we say?
Yeah.
They dominated. You know why they dominated? Because Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, and Darrelle Revis left the game fine. I'm happy. Move on.
No, that's the thing. And, you know, but there were some things to look at in this game. And I think with what you wanted to get accomplished, first was health, you just mentioned, but also to give playing time, real meaningful playing time, to some guys that, who knows, you may need going forward.
Yeah, and we'll see how that all unfolds. And I thought, you know, defensively early in the game, you know, I think they were without Browner, two starters, right? Browner and Hightower.
Right.
So that was the majority of your defense. And I thought there were some signs there that I didn't like. But I also looked at it from back to the intensity point of view. Clearly, they weren't, you know, sky high for this game. And I'm not even sure how much they even put into it in terms of preparation, game plan, you know, whatnot, stuff like that. The Bills haven't been able to run the ball on anybody all year, and in the first half, they ran the ball pretty effectively.
Yeah, no, the one thing I would say, I agree with you that it was a minor alarm to see them move the ball on the ground, and it was just, you weren't giving up big plays, it was just consistent 4 or 5 yard runs, and I would say, I think the hardest thing maybe to sort of play halfway would be run defense. I mean, you can't really half-ass it. If you're going to play run defense, you got to be all in or you're not in at all, so I would give them a little bit of a pass there.
Me too.
All right, so in terms of the first half, which is when Brady was playing and most of the offensive line, Dan Connolly was out and Vollmer was out that first half, I'm still a little bit worried about that offensive line going forward.
No question. To me, that is the one thing you worry about, the fatal flaw we've talked about all year. What could it be as we've moved along? It's all in the offensive line now, and I think a lot of it is on Solder. Because, as you mentioned, Connolly and Vollmer are probably your two best offensive linemen. So you get them back out there, I'm guessing that would have looked different against the Buffalo Bills. But Nate Solder, again, you know, has a holding penalty, which is basically because he got beat by Hughes. Then he injures his knee. So now you have a guy who's been slumping for basically a month who might be a little nicked up, might have a little issue with his knee. To me, it's weird to say that the postseason could come down to Nate Solder. But that offensive line is the one thing that I would say that's my concern of there being a fatal flaw, a reason you could lose.
And the depth there, too, because we've seen such a difference between those five that, you know, I think the five have been okay. You know, once they settled on Solder, Conley, Stork, Wendell, and Vollmer, I think that group was better than it had been earlier in the year. But now you're seeing even one of those guys out of the lineup, and it's back to the September train wreck that we're seeing. So I'm with Andy. That's the one thing, my one takeaway probably from December, is that offensive line, if it can't hold up, we know that that's been one of the major reasons. I don't know if it's the number one reason why they've lost in the playoffs, but it's definitely been in the top handful of reasons. Every time they've lost in the playoffs, they've lost the battle on the line of scrimmage.
All right, so of the three teams that could possibly play the Patriots on January 10th, which team can most take advantage of that weakness right now?
I would say Baltimore on paper.
Because they're
a high-pressure team. They can get after the passer with Dumervil, Suggs, C.J. Mosley, a good active front seven linebacker. Haloti Ngata will be back in the lineup. He missed the last four games serving a suspension, so he'll be all juiced up for the game, Freddie. See what I did there?
Yeah.
That's the pressure that the Ravens have.
Everybody saw what you did.
It was an Andy Hart joke. The Ravens, to me, would be the one team in terms of the front seven that could provide some pressure and disrupt the game in that way.
I think it's going to take a quarterback is what I think is going to take. It's going to take somebody, and we've seen all these guys. You know, Joe Flacco, a couple years ago, they won the Super Bowl because he got hot and played a great quarterback position. Ben Roethlisberger this year, if he has one of those games where he's just on and he's completing, you know, 80% of his passes and throwing 6 touchdowns, Antonio, then you're going to lose.
Well, you know, Bell hurt, so that helps the Ravens' chances, but it also shows why it's such an advantage to have that bye.
The Bills game may not have meant a whole lot in terms of the seedings and the standings, but for a lot of younger players, they gave them an opportunity to get some playing time. Jimmy Garoppolo obviously tops that list. It was nice to see the rookie get out there in his first extended action. And as expected, some good, some bad, some uneven performance. But what you did get to see is a quick release and really a strong arm. I thought that he looked pretty good in the pocket at times. And other times, I thought he bailed out a little bit too early and had a hard time making his reads and getting the ball delivered. But overall, there's some athleticism here. There's some ability here in a different version of the quarterback position that we've used to with Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo, not bad. Now, one player who got a chance to play in the first half of this game with Tom Brady and actually might, I say might, factor into the postseason is Brian Timms. He caught four passes early on from Brady, looked like a regular receiver on the outside, not just a deep threat, not just a one-trick pony. We saw him making some catches on the sideline, some outs, had a double move that probably should have drawn a flag early in the game against Buffalo. I thought he showed good hands and a good grasp of the offense. It wasn't perfect. Again, young guy, not a lot of experience, so there were some mistakes. Came up short of a first down on one catch near the sideline. But overall, I thought he did some things that might put him into the plans come postseason. Now, one player who did not take advantage of the opportunities as much and probably doesn't factor into the playoff plans is James White. Fourth-round pick, rookie, really a lost season for him. Spent most of the year on the inactive list. He got a chance to play on Sunday, but really wasn't a big part of it until very, very late. Made two short catches on the final drive from Jimmy Garoppolo. Really never got a chance to show what he can do. Never got a chance to showcase his skills. I think in training camp, he looked like a Shane Vereen clone, a guy who could get out of the backfield and catch the ball, but we never saw it in the regular season, and obviously we're not going to see it in the playoffs either.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Not really know how much I'm going to play. I just really try to learn as much as I can just in case I got in there and needed to play. I will be ready.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week from the playoff preseason game. Here's Jamie Collins, who had an excellent game and an excellent season. You might have even forced Kyle Orton to retire. Jimmy Garoppolo saw second half action and really showed his mobility in the pocket, but you kind of had to. Finally, I picked this picture because it was just cool, and this is Images of the Week.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
We have Patriots linebacker Akeem Ayers with us this week. Akeem, you've been here now for a little while, a couple of months. What has this whole process been like? You've had a chance to sort of immerse yourself into the Patriots way. What have your experiences been?
I mean, it's been a great experience. Just coming in early and really, you know, playing a lot, you know, my first couple games here and just, I've just really been enjoying it and having a lot of fun and just really playing football and just really enjoying the guys here. You know, everyone's been great since day one, since I've been here.
Now, fortunately for you, it would seem that versatility is one of your strong suits. You've done a lot of different things here. Mm-hmm. We've seen you a lot of times in the pass rush. You really, obviously, that's something that you do very well. But what we noticed is some stunting and some twists and, stunting inside. Is that something with your athleticism you think it sort of plays to your skill set?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's an advantage that really helps me, just being an athletic guy who can really just move in space and just really being able to, just, when I'm rushing a passer, just using my athleticism to, you know, turn corners and just find openings. So, I mean, I think that's something that helped me to my advantage.
When you think back to your time in Tennessee, and then obviously they didn't win a lot of games, and then you come here and you're the number one seed in the AFC and you're making sacks, you're making interceptions, it's got to be... Couldn't have imagined something like this, I would think, say 3 months ago, that you'd be in this situation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was, you know, with a totally different team, you know, and my expectation was I was going to be there for the entire year. You know, that's where I was drafted. You know, I played 3 years there, and that's where I thought I would be. And then, you know, just not being there, I mean, but, you know, since I've been here, you know, just like I said, I've just been enjoying it, just taking it all in and just really, you know, just giving all I have and just really, you know, just give them, put my best foot forward.
You guys obviously said to enjoy a bye week that you guys have all earned. Anything in particular on tap for the weekend, or are you just going to be watching a lot of football games?
I'm just be here. just really just putting the work in earlier in the week and just the time off, just really relaxing, just get my body to recover and get ready for a long week.
Obviously, no matchup to look at this week during the bye, so we'll look back at what the Patriots have done this season. And I want to start with one player, Jamie Collins. Did you see the play he made in the season finale against the Bills? Strip sack, fumble recovery, beat the left tackle off the edge, missed the quarterback the first time, swung back around, got the strip sack, then used his long arm to reach out and make the recovery. As athletic a play as you'll see, as big a want-to play as you'll see, capping off a great season for Jamie Collins, led the team with 100-plus tackles, 4 sacks, 2 interceptions, 3 passes defensed, 4 forced fumbles led the team, and 2 fumble recoveries. He made a name for himself last postseason. Let's see if he can continue that again this postseason. Since it is the end of the year and the regular season is now in the books, I figured we'd look back at how the Patriots finished statistically on both sides of the football. And guess what? Number one seed in the AFC? Most of the numbers are impressive. Patriots were top 10 in red zone, both sides of the ball. 9th in offense, 6th in defense. Scoring, top 10, both sides of the football. 4th on offense, 8th on defense. Led the NFL in point differential, best point differential in the league. That's why they're a really good football team. 3rd down offense, top 10, number 6th in the league. So guess what? The most balanced Patriots team that we've seen in maybe a decade heads into the postseason with some pretty impressive statistics to lean back on. And finally, while the NFL won't hand out their awards, MVP and such, until Super Bowl weekend, I'm going to look back at the Patriots' regular season and hand out my hardware right now, and we'll start with the MVP. Who else? Number 87, Rob Gronkowski. Probably not going to drum up enough support to be in contention for the league award, but Gronk makes this offense go. Gronk makes this team go. Offensive player of the year, who else? Number 12, Tom Brady. Took advantage of Gronk, took advantage of Brandon LaFell as a new weapon, put up big numbers yet again. Defensive side of the football, player of the year, I keep saying who else? Number 24, Darrell Revis. Transformed the defense, shut down receivers in man coverage, played zone as well as anybody, and let everybody else in the secondary fall into place. And finally, Rookie of the Year, Brian Stork. While the offensive line may be a minor concern heading into the postseason, the rookie 4th-round pick has not been a concern all year. Since he entered the lineup, offensive line has been better. Very impressive work for the rookie out of Florida State. Those are your awards. Now let's see if those guys can keep it going heading into the postseason.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You didn't spend any time in the stands like I did before you came here to work. Oh, that's why you're jaded.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
It's not often that an NFL head coach can come onto a new team and win in his first year. But that just might have to be the case for whoever takes the job in Atlanta or San Francisco. Usually a team is looking for a coach because it needs to be rebuilt, and that takes time. For these two teams, the QBs are in place, and there's enough talent around them that a solid leader could get instant results. That's the good news for whoever takes these jobs. The other side of the coin is that for these same reasons, immediate success might be expected. Unlike the Jets and Bears, where the front office was gutted, the 49ers and Falcons will retain their GM, signifying that the owners are somewhat satisfied with the job they've done. And unless you have the clout of a Bill Belichick, you'll probably have a hard time convincing your new owner otherwise. Tough call if you're a coaching candidate. Make your own path or head down the one someone else created.
Those of you who watch my Around the NFL know I have two topics that I like to bang on almost every week. One's the officials and the other's the playoff format. I hate them both. I'm going to stick with the playoff format this week. If you're going to stick with this antiquated notion that if you're the best of 4 teams in a particular region of the country, you're automatically in the playoffs, I hate it, but that's fine. Do you have to give them home games? Do you have to give them one of the top 4 seeds? The Carolina Panthers with a losing record, Seattle a few years ago with a losing record. Not only you make the playoffs, but you get a home game. This needs to end. The byes, I think, are not fair for everybody. I think it should be even playing field. 8 teams each side. Let them all play 1 against 8. Get the best teams in the playoffs. Don't give me all of this stuff about divisions mattering because they just flat out don't. This needs to change.
Apparently the D in Detroit stands for despicable because Ndamukong Suh did something despicable last week. I'm sure you've seen the highlights by now. He stepped on the calf of Aaron Rodgers. And he did it on purpose. He pulled a Ron Artest, or Meta World Peace, and while doing something that he knows is dirty and illegal, he pretended, oh, I can't feel anything. I'm not going to look down and see what I'm stepping on. And he dug his cleat into a man's calf. He deserved the one-game suspension, and guess what? He doesn't deserve the contract he's going to get this offseason, because Sue is a multi-time offender. He's a bad guy. He's been dirty since college, but guess what? Because he's a great player, he's going to get a huge free agent deal this offseason. Maybe not in Detroit, though, because I think his act has worn thin in the Motor City.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
We all know the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years to begin the current dynasty. But the question remains, after losing their last 2, Paul Perillo, do they need this to complete their legacy?
I think they need it. I don't know how you feel about it, but when you have a team that is capable of winning as much as the Patriots have won over the last 12, 14, whatever you want to start the dynasty, you need to start getting some titles. I think you want to cap off what Belichick and Brady have accomplished together. They have the team to do it this year. They've been one of the favorites, if not the favorite, for a long time. It's time to win in January.
I think it's hard to do. It's hard to win the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Good teams. It's hard to get there. It's hard to make the postseason, if you ask a lot of teams in the National Football League. It's not hard in New England. 12 of 14 years, they've gotten to the postseason. They've gone to 5 Super Bowls. They just happen to have lost the last 2. I think that's just sort of the water leveling out. It's expected. You're going to face a tough battle. They won 3 Super Bowls by a field goal, right? Those were close games. They won them. They haven't been so lucky of late. The greatness of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and this era of Patriots has been established.
I agree with that. And there's nothing that's going to happen. Even if they lose the Super Bowl, it won't say that the greatness was any less. I agree with that. But it does tarnish the image a
bit. Nothing is tarnished.
The great dynasties, Andy, don't have those multiple Super Bowl losses to look back on. The Buffalo Bills lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. The San Francisco 49ers didn't.
Right.
You know, if you want to be truly elite and want to be considered, and this might be one of those
so
things that
we
look back on paper.
Are they the best dynasty of all time? Or
yeah,
the
well, that's
best?
What I'm saying. If you want
They're
to look back
dynasty.
And say, if you want to be a true dynasty, one of the greatest dynasties.
They're
well,
already
the,
a dynasty.
The great dynasties,
already
Andy,
dynasty.
Don't lose 3 Super Bowls in a row.
Already
the great ones
a
don't.
Dynasty.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. This may be a unique dynasty. It may be a different type of dynasty. But this is still a dynasty that we have seen for the last decade plus. And nothing this February will change that. Is it better to win a Super Bowl? Yes. Is it better to collect another ring? Yes. Will it help your chances in these Patriots-like arguments of are they the greatest coach, quarterback, combo, greatest dynasty ever? Yes. All that will be helped.
They
it'll,
need that.
It'll polish
Patriots
it up.
Patriots fans
want to
say
no
that, Andy. You got to be with the – see, this is why. You didn't spend any time in the stands like I did before you came here to work.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Why you're jaded. You're not one of us. You're not one of the
boy.
Fans. I'm sick and tired of listening to people say they haven't won in 10 years. That's a bunch of crap. They've won plenty. Now it's time to get another ring and – get another trophy for Mr. Kraft's trophy case and end this nonsense and tell everybody that they are the greatest dynasty ever.
It's a trophy room, actually.
Whatever.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly. Brought to you by Pepsi. Official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Here's this week's fantasy tip brought to you by DraftKings. The playoffs offer a short slate of games for daily fantasy. Key ideas like pairing a quarterback and one of his wide receivers or not using a player against your defense are no longer essential with so few options on the board. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest.
It is question time here on PFW, but the regular season is over, and that means the official Wilson Hart Power Rankings are in.
Finals.
Yes.
Hot off the printer. And not much has changed this week. Green Bay Packers hold on to the number 1 spot. Patriots hold on to the number 2 spot. The 12-4 teams all are in your top 4 slots. Don't change. The Seahawks 3, Broncos 4. Interestingly, you still have the Bills and Texans as top 10 teams, even though they didn't qualify for the postseason with their 9-7 records. Then you have Lions, Cowboys, Ravens, and the Carolina Panthers. They made the playoffs. They're ranked 22nd in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
All right, let's get to the questions. This first one comes from John Moore. He says, What good is there in playing meaningless games when players can and do get hurt? Just cancel the games and refund all the people who bought tickets for the games instead.
I mean, yes, 100 years ago they played different schedules with different numbers of games. You play a 16-game schedule. They all have meanings, whether it's draft status or, you know, trying to get some momentum heading into the offseason. Some teams, obviously, the playoffs. There's a financial aspect. There's TV contracts involved. That is just a dumb
and the league realizes that, you know, it's kind of an issue. And a few years back, they made more of an effort to schedule a lot of the division games at the end in the hopes that they would have. But it's inevitable to have some games that aren't going to happen.
And it's not meaningless to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
It's not meaningless to Brian Timms. For all we know, what Garoppolo went through on Sunday is going to catapult him into year two, and he's ready now to be an NFL quarterback. I like how Bill puts it. It's not meaningless to the guys who are on the field playing between the whistles.
Sure. Next question comes from Jason Babich. He says, we may be at the end of the holiday miracle season, but I wonder, is it even remotely possible that a non-playoff team like Tampa cuts Logan Mankins or some other O-line player for some reason and the Patriots sign him up?
I don't think it's remotely possible. I think if someone was already available, Richie Incognito, for example, someone who's available on the street, free agent, not affiliated with any team, then a playoff team could sign him and plug him in. But I think players that are under contract, I think they remain under contract until the end of the league year. So the little holiday season, you know, and as you like to say, you know, Greg Schiano used to be in Tampa Bay. He might just give us a guy.
Right.
But he's not there.
I like the email, and if you dig deeper, as you've taught me to do, Fred Kirsch.
Deeper dive?
That's a fan who, A, is not comfortable with the offensive line.
Right.
B, kind of wants Logan Mankins back. And C, thinks it would be a miracle if the offensive line were good in the postseason.
Oh, so no.
That's an interesting email.
Well, I didn't read the last part of that email. I think
that's
you.
Andy, yeah.
Am I projecting?
Doug Summers writes in, what is the health condition of Kyle Arrington? It worries me with Dennard out for the remainder of the year and Butler and Ryan not really being effective against other teams' receiving options. What is the team going to do to cover the number three receiving threat on other teams?
Kyle Arrington. He was in uniform but didn't play in the finale, and I think that's an indication. This isn't a huge injury issue, that it's a hamstring. Now, the one problem I have is hamstring, especially for wide receivers or defensive backs, can be not an issue and then all of a sudden an issue again when a guy has to sprint.
Yeah.
But I think they are planning on him now, having missed a month plus of football, being ready to go in the divisional round and being the key third cornerback that he's been, because I agree with the rest of that email that other than that, there's depth concerns there, the next guy up being good enough to compete in the postseason.
I do think he's an underrated, important member of that secondary. I think he's had a solid year, and I agree with Andy. They've picked on the other guys. Logan Ryan in particular, I would feel a lot better if Arrington were
healthy. Did you know the back of Logan Ryan's jersey actually says bullseye?
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's another one. I don't think it says
real
it anymore.
Negative.
This guy.
The Christmas miracle season is over. Let's move on to January.
We're going on into a bye week. We earned a bye.
All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com.